All right, Elias, thank you for being here with me today.
Thanks for having me. Akiva, right?
That's it.
That's it.
Well, I want to get started. In your formative years, I think it's always interesting to talk about your influences in particular. I'm a huge fan of Nonpoint, obviously, but let's hear about how you grew up and some of your favorite influences growing up and how that got you into
I
music.
was really inspired by a lot of the big voices, a lot of the harmony groups growing up when I was young. My parents were into classic rock, and a lot of the yacht rock that is now on everyone's playlist, library. But a lot of the big voices when it comes to rock, I would say, Zeppelin was in the house, the Beatles, Boston, Journey, a lot of the big stacked harmonies. So that's where you get a lot of the harmonies, and that kind of stuff. I also grew up on hip hop, a lot of the hip hop. I grew up in South Florida. So, being from Fort Lauderdale, it was a big hip hop scene and a big, what was called freestyle at the time, which eventually turned into mixtapes. And then people were passing around things. There was a dude out of Atlanta called MC Shy D. There was a Jam Pony Express down in South Florida, which eventually, Two Live Crew actually spawned out of that whole scene down there. And
Oh, no way.
yeah, so a lot of my hook factor comes from a lot of the hip hop stuff that I loved growing up on. And then in high school, I got a lot of formal training. I went to a performing arts high school. End of my junior year, I shifted majors into theater and to performing arts. So I started learning how to use my voice properly and protecting it. And then around that time, I was still kind of a pop hip hop kid. And then I got kind of exposed through meeting Rob and meeting some of the dudes in the band before I even joined. It really wasn't even, yeah, it was the band before I joined. Rob was like, "Hey, check this band out, check this band out, check this band out." And he was handing me a bunch of stuff. And at the time, it was nu metal. Nu metal was coming up, and Rage Against the Machine was something that was familiar to me. It was obviously on pop radio too, so I picked up on a lot of it that way. And then I started getting into Metallica and getting into like I said, I came in late, so my influences were really song based and structured around that, and just what my voice could do and what was fun for me doing.
Fantastic. Well, that's exactly what I want to touch on. I mean, as you probably are aware, nu metal has been making a huge comeback recently, kind of in the cultural sphere as it pertains to fashion and, of course, social media culture. But my question for you is, what was it like during that time, that iconic time and place where nu metal was just exploding, speaking to perhaps the late 90s and early 2000s?
It was really weird. It was a double-edged sword. It was like, I think it's like everything when it first comes in, it's hated. Everybody hated it. On the outside, everyone hated it because on the inside, it was so much fucking fun. We were having an absolute blast. We were playing with our fashion. It wasn't so just, what it was then was colors and looseness and statements on your t-shirt, those kind of things. Where now that's what's kind of coming back, where saying a statement on your t-shirt with somebody as iconic as Kylie Jenner, where she throws on a Metallica t-shirt and it's she may, does she listen to Metallica? I don't fucking know if she listens to Metallica, but the point is that she's trying to make a statement with her chest, and that's what we used to say a lot. And from that nu metal time where we were very bold and out and in your face and saying really crazy shit, it wasn't very welcomed. But then you look back, grunge was stomping on hair metal and everybody hated grunge. And when hair metal came out, everybody hated fucking hair metal. So, disco, everything gets its chance to be in the spotlight of the hate. And the internet just kind of magnified it because it was so hot, and it's basically what everybody was doing at the time.
Absolutely. So speaking some more to that, just about that confluence of genres, especially, you know, rap and metal, at the core of it, what would be your stylistic inspiration going into that? So you've started Nonpoint at that point, and you're saying to yourself, you know, how do I just amplify my own personal attitude towards my music? What is your thought process? I would love to hear more.
I really try to do everything that my voice can do. You know, I'm definitely part of the group of people that loves to write music, that really loves to write. I love to perform. If you've been to our shows, you know, it's not something that I take lightly. That hour every single day is the most important hour, and I wait for that hour all day long. But when it comes to music and it comes to making music, there's people that want to make all the time, and I want to make all the time. And when you want to do that, there's all sorts of different types of music coming at you. And I love all sorts of music. My likes go from Chris Stapleton to Amy Winehouse to, you know, Bruno Mars and, you know, Silk Sonic and, you know, to Wu-Tang and to Griselda and, you know, just it goes everywhere. So my voice wants to play all those games. So I'll hear something in music that inspires me to turn on my screaming, or I just have to rap over it, or, you know, it's just, I want to stack nothing but vocals on it because it reminds me of this part in this, you know, Christopher Cross song from, you know, the 70s that I remember this, you know, first, seventh, ninth harmony that I really been waiting to fucking use, that now all of a sudden I have a place to put it. You know, so when it comes to what I'm doing with our music and what I'm trying to do with the vocal side of it is do it all, almost like Kendrick Lamar. If you listen to a Kendrick Lamar record, you know, I hope this doesn't make people shut this off, but just hear me out here. And I got to say this about Doja Cat too. I know I'm going to get so much fucking hate in the comments. So I'm glad. I hope it comes. When it comes to people like those two artists, there's something that I notice about how free they are in their creative process, where, you know, I can literally say when it comes to the rap game, very few do everything that Kendrick Lamar does. And when it comes to the pop game, I have to say, I'm going to die on this fucking hill. The top pop artist right now, because she raps as good as all the best rappers. She dances as good as all the best dancers. She sings better than, just as good as all the best singers. She writes her own music, writes her own beats, plays with classic styles, plays with new cute styles. There's so many layers to what that woman does. I revel in it. I really honestly do. And then when it comes to people like, and I say this a lot too, and I use this artist in the rock world, people like Circa Survive.
Oh,
that band is just different. And no one can do that. No one else can do that. Circa does Circa better than anyone can ever try to do that style. That's what makes them so great. And what I'm trying to do with Nonpoint is somehow, even through all our joking and all our fun and all our bounce, my band is about what we say and how we thump, basically. We put a groove in a room, and then I push everybody aside, walk up onto my fucking, you know, soapbox, and I go. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to either stand you up, sit you down, wake you up, or give you perspective. And it means perspective of emotion, perspective of word, perspective of self. You know, there's so much that I get to play with. I don't want to just do one thing. So it loses some people. And honestly, I don't give a fuck. But it's about me getting all of this yap that I got.
Today's show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey everyone, it's Akiva here. And before we dive into today's episode, I want to take a moment to talk about something incredibly important: mental health. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy accessible and affordable for everyone, breaking down the barriers that often make finding the right therapist so daunting. With BetterHelp, it's all online, making it easier to start your therapy journey from the comfort of your own space. On my creative journey as an artist and designer, I faced my fair share of challenges. I've always believed in the transformative power of therapy to provide perspective and tools for dealing with life's hurdles. Signing up is straightforward. Head over to BetterHelp, that's HELP.com/AkivaAlpert. When you use this link, not only do you support our show, but you also get 10% off your first month. BetterHelp understands that the therapist-client relationship is crucial. So if you feel the need to change therapists for any reason, you can do so easily and without extra charges. Thank you, BetterHelp, for supporting our community and making mental health care more accessible. Visit BetterHelp, that's BetterHelp.com/AkivaAlpert, or click the link in our show description.
Get out, out.
I love the way you articulated that.
Thanks.
Of course. No, it's so interesting.
Shout out to Doja. Shout out to Doja.
Actually, yeah, no, absolutely. Shout out to Doja Cat and Circus Survive. Two deep cuts. I actually, my sentiment is in agreement with you. You know, I understand both of those acts, and Circus Survive in particular. Elias, I'd like to touch on, since we're speaking to stage performance, your approach, because, you know, I could imagine seeing, and I've yet to see, Bullet With A Name live, and I would love to, but I would love to hear just your approach to stage performances, and if there's any nuances that kind of go through your head as you approach it.
Well, you have to be careful about what you're doing when you step out on stage. And when it's, I'm careful. I'm just careful. I understand that the energy that I'm getting back from the audience is tangible. So I'm going to have to grip it and wield it in a way that doesn't, you know, make people feel yanked, but makes them feel like they want to race for me, you know, that kind of thing. So once, and I do this with my songwriting, once I'm going, that's it. Once I'm going, and I say this with the guys when they're writing their music, it's like, why not just let my band write what they want to write, how they want to write it? And then from there, I know that they're galloping hard, right? Mm-hmm. They're going. So I can then jump into that momentum and then help inspire more inspiration to that. And it's the same thing goes with the show, is I'll get out there and I'll see what I'm dealing with. Everybody says, oh, the Nonpoint show is always great and it's always the same every time. And it's not. It never is for me. It never is, because every audience is absolutely fucking different. So that's where, you know, for the lack of a better example, sales comes into it. And I walk out on stage and I see what's in front of me. And if I see that the audience is already on 10, I jump to 10. It's easy. I'm a 10 kind of guy, so I can get to 10. Very easy. But if I walk out, new crowd, they're on a 3, I'll hit a 6 out of the box to get them. And that, but in 16 bars, I'm going to be at 10, because in those first 16 bars, that 6 is going to do something to them that's going to make them go, oh shit, this guy's not fucking around. We got, it's, we're here. I get to play around too. And that comes with song choice. That comes with, like I said, knowing your environment, like the Million Watts tour, this last tour, you know, some of my members can be reluctant to open with new music. And I understand why. We have a vast catalog. People have been waiting months to see that song. So when it comes out and it's memorable and familiar, it's easy. It's easy. I don't give a fuck about easy. I'm okay with creating a start and then pulling them to that expecting new music from us as a first song. And that's what we did with this Million Watts tour. We named the tour that, and then we came out to that fucking song. So when it started, even though it starts with this clap stomp kind of thing, it during that clap stomp, people were getting so worked up that they were like, "Woo!" You could hear the screams every once in a while and you could see it. And then when it hit, the place erupted. So it didn't matter whether or not it was familiar for everybody. It was what the music was doing. And we can rest assured on that, knowing that we did the work in the song crafting to create that kind of experience in the live set.
I see. So let's speak a little bit more to, in that case, the musical evolution, because as you mentioned, you guys have had a very long career. I'd love to hear kind of, in your words, the musical evolution of Nonpoint as you see it.
I'm in the playground stage. I want to do, like I said, I want to do everything. We have over 178-179 songs published. Yeah. That's published. So that's a lot of records. I'm on 10. So this is the part where, you know, I still have my voice. I still have fun. So these last EPs, I think, set it the best. And we did a lot of testing with those EPs. We said we were going to do testing with those EPs, with songs like Paper Tigers, which we wanted to see what that straightforward fuck you kind of song, where it was no holds barred, what kind of reaction it was going to get out of our fans and how fun it would be for us. So we wrote it, we recorded it, we put it out on tour, and it's a Nonpoint song. It's just like Mind Trip or any of the other songs from back in the day that you go, oh yeah, but that's that one that's different for Nonpoint. And what I found from our fans and from asking our fans, that they expect a Nonpoint record, even though it's one body of work, that they don't know what the next song's going to do. They never know what the next song's going to do. And that's exciting to me, because I don't want to be predictable, but if you close your eyes and you hit play, anybody will tell you that's a Nonpoint song. And that means I'm doing my job, staying unique and, you know, creating a lane, I hope.
Absolutely. Let's shift gears briefly. I'd like to talk to you about fashion, and not just in the sense of brands, but certainly in the sense of overall aesthetic, because again, I think nu metal fashion is so iconic, more relevant now than ever, as I'd mentioned before. And I would just like to hear you opine on that a little bit, if you have any thoughts at all.
You know, I'm surprised that the JNCO look is coming back. I really am. I thought that was one that was going to die. But what I've realized is of course it's not going to die, because it's the new bell bottom. And the bell bottom just turned from the bell bottom in the 70s to the boot fit in the 80s and the 90s. And then from the 90s, since boot fit was there, it just turned into exaggerated wider bottoms, and it just kept getting wider and wider and wider. So the wider it was, the bigger the pockets. I remember being able to put an entire, I forget what the gaming system was, like a PS Vita in my back pocket, just slipped right in. The whole thing went in my back pocket. So, you know, parachute pants, like very thin, parachute-y, bright yellow pants that I wore in the Mind Trip video. You know, Mikey from Cold Chamber, that we just did a run with, we were talking about the fashion, and I pull up this shirt that he wore, And I don't remember. It's very iconic. It's this. It's just sleeves. It's just sleeves. Just the sleeves, and then the collar, and it's somehow attached. It's the collar and the sleeves, and then like this much. And I was like, dude, how did you even put that on? And he goes, oh shit, man, that shirt was like $4,000. I was like, what?
Oh my God.
Jesus Lord. So, you know, I'm seeing that it comes to what you like. All right. It comes down to what you like. And we're at the generation where the parents, the kids are finding the clothes in the parents' closet and they're pulling them out because they're vintage at this point. So, you know, we're pushing 23 years that I met Rob 23 years ago, 24 years ago. It's, you know, the fashion switches. It literally goes. My first record would be considered classic rock in about 2 years. So
absolutely,
the fashion's going to do the same thing. When it comes to Nonpoint, Nonpoint was streetwear and new metal was streetwear. Mm. We were about the hip hop feel because that's what the guys felt I was strong with. My patterns, my cadence, my delivery. And, you know, they were laying down grooves for me. So that's kind of what made Nonpoint. So the fashion matched that as opposed to what was on the other side, which was really at the time, it was just biker rock was the other side of it.
Love the way you explained that. That's so important because, again, it felt like new metal. And in particular, of course, your contributions and Nonpoint's contributions as kind of progenitors of what we're seeing today. I keep referencing the past and the present because it's almost as if new metal was being recognized in a way it should have been, I think, in the 2010s. People needed to not have abandoned it as much in lieu of other things and just said, wait a second, this is primed for the next evolution, and here we are.
Yeah, so, and you gotta think. It's hip hop is the highest selling, you know, outside of Taylor Swift. There's you know, it's all around hip hop and R&B rhythms right now. So I listen to the new up and coming bands, and if I muted all the music, they're singing R&B melodies. You know, Fred Archambault, our producer 2 records ago, was saying the same thing. He's like, man, this is what you guys are good at. It's coming. So it just, what we do that sets us apart, it's more about the music, what we do.
Could you speak a little bit more to R&B influence? Hey everyone, Akiva here. Today I'm thrilled to introduce you to a revolutionary tool that's changing the game for artists and designers everywhere, the Muse 2 headband. So what exactly is Muse 2? It's a cutting-edge headband equipped with advanced EEG technology designed to monitor your brain's activity. This isn't science fiction. It's a real tangible tool that tracks how well you focus, sleep, and recharge. By providing real-time feedback on your brain's activity, Muse 2 guides you through meditation sessions, helping you understand and improve your mental state. It's like having a personal trainer, but for your brain, ensuring you're always in the optimal state for creativity and productivity. Imagine reducing your stress, feeling more calm and relaxed, and enjoying a boost in focus and clarity. Muse 2's EEG sleep support technology has been shown to improve sleep quality. That means waking up refreshed, recharged, and ready to conquer the creative challenges of the day. It's backed by the best, renowned institutions like Harvard, NASA, and the Mayo Clinic, not to mention over 200 published research studies. And because I believe in the transformative power of Muse 2, I've partnered with them to offer you an exclusive 15% discount. Just use my code at choosemuse.com/AkivaAlpert. And start your journey towards enhanced focus, creativity, and well-being today. Influences in particular, because that's something you've mentioned in the past as well. Maybe your particular R&B influences, because I'm a huge fan of R&B as well. I don't know many artists from the past, but certainly in the two. If you could speak on that.
Yeah, it's the runs, man. It's the runs. It's all the chord structures and how they you know, they lay down a feeling. And then that feeling in a verse will take you to the end of the verse. And you know the end of the verse is coming. You can feel it coming with the chord structure. And then it lifts you up and drops you in. every single time. And that's R&B is rhythm and blues, and it's blues chords and blues structures that Black Sabbath and Zep and all these people that metal eventually came out of. That's where that came from, is those chord structures. And those chord structures are what inherently just feel good to us, because there's a standard for a reason. You know, there's drum standards, there's musical standards, because, you know, a G goes great into a B, and, you know, A's go great into F sharps. And, you know, it's like that kind of understanding of what music should be doing. And then you take proficiency, like, you know, your kill switch engages, you know, where you see the work here, but it's all. It's they're playing in rhythm and blues chords. They're just slipping a minor, you know, adding a diminished. But it's that feel. It's that A B A B C B A B A B C B A B. It's that rhythm. That's part of that. They take the rhythm out of it, and then switch around the blues a little bit to make it fucking metal. And that's what I love about it, because I can spit over that, I can sing over that, I can stack over that, I can scream over that. You know, there's lots that you can do. So it's the people that know how to dance here, so that way people can dance here, and then the drums and the bass are what are fucking stomping you in the chest to make it hard.
Absolutely. Let's speak in that case to Nonpoint Shift, if we can, by going independent, starting your own record label, 361 Degrees. I'd like to know what motivated the change and how that transition has been and that evolution.
Timing was part of it. The pandemic happened and everyone was sitting at home. So everybody had time. And we wanted to make a plan. And that plan took setting up. And at the time, you know, we had a different vision than our label, parted ways amicably, and then really decided to take out the list of questions that we asked ourselves for 20 years across, you know, managing and labels and agents and everything. And then, you know, try to find out if those answers were on the up and up. And then we would find this one was what we expected. And yeah, they were dealing with the same shit. So, you know, but then other ones, I realized that, hey, maybe we could have done something different here, because we found success trying that out. So, you know, the independence came with opportunity, and it came with purpose and with a plan. So it wasn't like I was going to take, you know, the previous 18 years and just decide to throw it to a whim and, hey, I can figure this out. No, I built teams, and, you know, I still had an agent, and I still had a radio staff. And I knew that there were working parts, that if I wanted to do this seriously, and the band knew this, that we were going to need to, you know, build a smart team that actually did it. So we got ex-label people, and, you know, people that used to work for E1, and people that used to work for BMI, and, you know, people that used to work for other labels, and they all kind of assisted us to make sure that we didn't make any mistakes, because they wanted us to win too. So I give, you know, shout out to all those people. You guys know who you are. I don't want to get anybody in trouble for helping us, but you guys all know who you are. Thank you so much for helping us, you know, get independent and telling us all the, you know, behind the scenes stuff to help us get where we are right now, because without you guys, wouldn't be here.
Absolutely. Well, that gets us into a segue towards the future, which I think is the most crucial thing, right? Let's talk about the future. Let's talk about everything that you're willing to discuss as it pertains to new music, as it pertains to upcoming tours. I would love to hear all about it.
Spring is going to happen with all of the Danny Wimmer festivals, and we're doing a run right now. It's just got confirmed. The announcement's going to come, I believe, tomorrow. So follow us, nonpoint.com, and follow us on all the socials for that. tour announcement is coming up. We're doing the a run in summertime that we can't announce just yet, but that's going to be a great run together with some dear friends of ours. We're going to go overseas. That's also confirmed. So Europe, we're on our way. Finally, we're on our way this year. It is already confirmed. So we will see you soon. The announcement is coming. All these announcements are coming. So, but we're going to be doing a lot of touring, and we are currently writing. I have written quite a few lyrics. Today, we probably wrote the strongest piece of music so far. So today was a very exciting day. And so that should be coming before the end of the year too. I really believe so. Keep an ear to the ground.
Well, fantastic. Well, Elias, I just want to say thank you for having this conversation with us today, me specifically, but it's been an absolute pleasure, and, you know, huge fan of Nonpoint, so it's been great. Of course, my pleasure.